Good morning, church. We are going to jump into some worship together. So if you would stand, come a little closer if you feel so inclined. Your neighbor and just simply wish them a Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Advent is the season of reflective preparation for the celebration of the first coming of Christ at Christmas and the expectant return of Christ at his second coming. It's a tradition that began in early 19th century Europe and has been widely practiced by believers around the world to this day. The second candle reminds us that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to bring us spiritual peace. Peace begins with a right relationship with God, and it continues to fill us as we focus on His strength and trust in Him. Today we'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. A voice is calling, clear a way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You may be seated.
And you may please stand, if you would.
I am free. Oh, he lost another one.
Jesus, thank you for who you are, and thank you that no matter how many times we fail, that you are God of second chances, you are God of forgiveness, you are God of reconciliation. Lord, I pray that we would take our example in you, and that if we have not been forgiving, if we have not been the way we should to people this year, our family, our friends, people at work even, that we would open up ourselves to you and your word. And Lord, you would convict us where necessary, that we would come back into your grace, into your will for our life. And Lord, we would live as living sacrifices, and we would be able to tap into the agape love that only comes from you that enables us to do these things. Without you, it's impossible. Without you, we're going to hold grudges. Without you, we get lost in our own sin. But Lord, with you, we can overcome those things as you've overcome them. Lord, I pray that we would be more like you this holiday season and every day of our lives. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, I don't know about you, but this Christmas season's starting to get a little stressful. I don't know if you guys are experiencing that or not, but I'm having that. So the greeting is now a bit stressful. So the holiday greeting, the greeting that we tell people, has now become a stressful thing. I just tell you a couple things that happened to me this week that helped to set the stage for that, but I want to let you know right off, I don't like shopping. Like, if I never went into a Target store for the rest of my life, I would be a happy man. I'd be okay with that. But unfortunately, this week I had to go into a Target. So I went into the Target store and I returned what I needed to return, and I was going to leave, and the lady just real quickly said to me, "Happy holidays." And so, like, I didn't even think about it. Like, I just said "Happy holidays" right back to her. And then I was like, why did I say "Happy holidays"? I never say "Happy holidays." You know, so all the way out to the car, I'm like, why did you say that for us? That was really dumb. So then a little later that same day, I went to Dunkin' Donuts, got some coffee, and was leaving. And as I was turning to go, I was like, not going to make that mistake again. So I said, "Merry Christmas," like to the three people that were behind the counter. "Merry Christmas." And as I'm grabbing my coffee, I'm grabbing it from a lady who's got on one of the headdresses. She's a Muslim lady. I was like, oh, I can't win for trying, you know? And so it's just stressful this time of year. And there's a lot of stressful things that are going on this time of year. It's not just a greeting. It's the greeting cards. It's the parties. It's the it's the gifts that we got to give for all of our nieces and nephews and uncles and all of this. It's just a really stressful time of the year. Christmas is a stressful time of the year. And the problem with stress, there are many problems with stress, but one of the big problems for us with stress is what stress does is stress pushes peace out of our lives. When stress pops in, peace gets pushed out. So for us, as we're going through this Christmas season and we have all these things, the hustle and bustle, there's more traffic, there's more, everything is worse now, there's more chaos, and that's, as that stress level rises, peace kind of gets pushed out of our lives. Which is a bit ironic because the whole concept of Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace. And here we're finding it a season where it's hard to find peace. It's difficult. It's a challenge for us to find peace in our lives. And for some people, not all, but for some people, before Christmas even started, life was already stressful. Already they're dealing with medical issues that are just too stressful to deal with. They're dealing with family issues, family that's not getting along or different things like that. And so before Christmas even started, stress was in their lives and it kind of pushed peace out. And then you drop in to the middle of that, you drop in Christmas and it gets even worse. That's what happens. Stress pushes peace out of our lives. And this morning what I want us to do is I want to talk about the concept of peace. How do we get peace into our lives? How should we get peace into our lives? How do we get peace? How do we find peace? How do we live in that sense of peace? As we near towards December 25th, as we get closer to that day, how do we maintain a level of peace in our lives? As we're dealing with doctors and as we're dealing with bosses and as we're dealing with school and homework and neighbors and all of these things that are going on in our life that are causing us stress, how do we get to the place where we settle in that sense of peace? And this morning, what I'd invite you to do, if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at this. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, it's okay. There's a pew Bible in the pew in front of you. It's a red book, and pull it right out. And we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. And We're going to talk about in the book of Isaiah is this series. What we've been doing is we've been going through the prophecies in the book of Isaiah that have to do with Christmas. And so we're kind of going through those and we're talking about those. And this morning we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 7. And there's an interesting thing that's going on in Isaiah 7 that I want to tell you about. There's a king. He's the king in Jerusalem, and his name is Ahaz. And he is in Jerusalem, and the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by the Arameans and by the Israelites who are attacking the city. There's an impending capture of the city looming on the horizon for them. And so Ahaz is naturally anxious. He's naturally worried, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to fend these people off? And in the beginning of chapter 7, the Lord comes to Ahaz, speaks through the prophet Isaiah, and says, be calm. It's going to be okay. These guys are here, but they're not going to come into the city. Be calm. And then what we read as we go where we're going to be today, in verses 10 through 16, the Lord gives some instruction to Ahaz about how. How do you do that when there's two armies camped outside your town? How do you have peace? He's going to give Ahaz instruction about how to do that. So we're going to be Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. And I just want to give you a heads up. Ahaz doesn't do this. The instruction that the Lord gives him, Ahaz doesn't do. He doesn't believe that it'll work. So he comes up with his own plan and he messes things up. But the reality is that what the Lord tells Ahaz to do is good. It's good things. If Ahaz would have done it, things would have been much better, but he didn't. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what the Lord told Ahaz to do and say, okay, now how do we integrate that in our lives? But one thing we don't want to do, don't be like Ahaz, because Ahaz didn't believe what God said and he didn't do it. We're not going to do that. We don't want to do that. Instead, what we want to do is say, what should I do? How can I find peace in the midst of the stress? How can I find peace in the midst of the chaos of my life? And starting at verses 10, we're going to read through from verses 10 to verse 13. And what we're going to see is that we can find peace by petition, by making a request to God for help. Now, I didn't use the word prayer here for a reason, is because prayer is a very big concept. I can talk to the Lord in prayer. I can just have a conversation with him. I can thank him for what he's done. I can praise him for what he's done in my life. There's a lot of things I can do in prayer. But there's also something I can do called petition, where I can ask God for things to help me with certain things. And that's what's being talked about here. So it's making a distinction this morning, is that we can find peace in our lives when we ask God for help, when we ask God to assist us. Look with me at verse 10. It says, then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. So the Lord has come through Isaiah the prophet and is speaking to Ahaz again. He already told him, be calm. Now he's coming to him again. He's going to tell him how to do that. He spoke to Ahaz again, saying, ask for a sign. Okay, the word ask there is a command. The Lord is literally commanding Ahaz to do something. We'll see later that he doesn't do it. But the Lord says, ask for a sign for yourself. See, the Lord has already promised that these two armies are not going to come into Jerusalem. He's already told them, hey, that's what's happening. But he's having trouble believing. So he says, here, let me help you out. Let me give you some peace. Ask for a sign. It's the command. And then he goes even further, and he ups the ante a little bit, and he says, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. He says, he's giving them a blank check. He's saying, ask for a sign. Ask for anything. Anything you want to ask. You know, there's no parameters here. Ask for anything as a sign that will validate that what I said is true is going to come true. The Lord commands him to ask for a sign, gives him permission to ask for anything. But unfortunately, in verse 12, Ahaz wants nothing to do with it. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Now, the next thing that he says sounds sort of noble. It sounds like he's maybe doing a good thing, but it's not. But he says, but in the first part, he says, I will not ask. You've commanded me to ask, but I won't ask. And most people think the reason he doesn't ask is because he doesn't believe it'll make a difference. But he says, I will not ask, nor will I put the Lord to the test. And so what he's doing is alluding back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, where there's a verse and there says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, hey, look, I'm going to disobey what you're telling me to do, but I'm doing it under the guise of I'm obeying you. Okay, and that's what he's trying to do. But the Lord sees right through what he's doing. And so in verse 13, we read this. He says this, then he said, listen now, house of David. Ahaz was a king in the line of David. And so now God, through Isaiah, addresses that whole line of David. He says, listen now, house of David. Is it too trivial a thing for you? Is it too small of a thing for you to try the patience of men? To try the patience of these prophets that are coming to you and telling you what you should do to follow God? Is it too small of a thing for you that you try the patience of my prophets? And then he goes on to say, and that you will try the patience of my God as well. So now he knows, Ahaz knows, he's been given a command from God to do something and he won't do it. Won't do it. And God comes to him and he says, you are not doing what I want you to do. You are in the wrong. And we see that Ahaz is in the wrong. And we'll follow up and we'll see a little later what happens to Ahaz because of that. But the important thing here is that the Lord sees that Ahaz is going through stress. He's going through a difficult situation and he gives them a way out. He gives them a way to help him with that. And he says, ask for a sign. The Lord says, petition me. Ask me for something that will help you. And that's what Ahaz refuses to do. But that is the thing that we can do that will give us an opportunity to be able to have peace in our lives if we'll ask the Lord for help. Now, one of the things that is hard to grasp here, one of the things that we need to look at is you wonder, why didn't Ahaz ask for something? I mean, it is kind of weird that he had a blank check. And the reason Ahaz probably didn't ask for anything is because he didn't believe. Let me give you a modern day example. Around this time of year, there are a number of people that have put out signs and they'll say, we'll put up your Xmas lights. You know, they take out the word Christ and they put X in there. And there's a lot of people who get real bent out of shape about that. I don't think it's right. I wish they wouldn't do it, but I understand it. You know, it saves on printing or whatever. I get it. I understand. But I don't like get upset about it. I don't get in people's faces about it. I don't go up to the little signs and mark out the X and write Christ. I don't pull up the signs and throw them away. I don't get upset about it. I don't get worked up about it. Here's why. Because I don't think it'll do anything. I don't think if I were to do those things, it would actually change the behavior of people. I don't think it'll work. It's not that I don't think they should be, not that I think they should do it, but they've already done it. They probably don't see anything wrong with it. So whatever I do isn't going to make a difference. Isn't going to mean anything to them. And the reality is that is how you and I function. You and I will get involved in prayer. We'll talk to the Lord. We'll ask the Lord to help us in those situations and in those times where we think it will matter. But when we get into those times where we think, no matter what I ask the Lord to do here, no matter what I ask him to do or to not do, or what I ask him to change, if we don't think it will make a difference, then we don't pray. So the question I want you to ask yourself, I want you to probe yourself is, over the past week, how many times can you think back to times when you've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, please help with this situation? And is that revealing to you? Is it, not in a shameful way, but just, hey, pay attention. Is that revealing to you that in your heart you don't think it'll make much of a difference, so you don't pray? And if you don't think it'll make much of a difference, then you won't pray. And if you don't pray, it won't bring peace. And so the Lord offers to us, and he offered to Ahaz, although Ahaz didn't want anything to do with it, but he offers to us the opportunity to get an influx of peace in our life if we'll just ask for his help. So my challenge to you this week is this, is to ask for his help. As you're coming into a situation that needs is beyond you, as you're coming into a situation where something is not going according to plan, as you're coming into a situation, something you're worrying about, ask for the Lord's help. Say, Lord, please help with this situation. Don't be afraid to talk to him. Don't be afraid to ask him for what you need. So how are we supposed to find peace in our lives? First, ask for help. Second of all, is by presence. First of all, it's by petition. And second of all, it's by the presence. It's by the presence of the Lord. And when we talk about the presence of the Lord, we're talking about how a man or woman who has entered into an intimate relationship with God because of his faith or her faith in what Jesus did for them, if they enter into that and they become a believer, they now have living within them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God's presence in them, living in them. Look with me at verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Therefore, because Ahaz has been unwilling to do what the Lord told him to do, the Lord is going to do something else. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you, the you here is plural, so he's talking to the house of David. It says, the Lord will give you a sign. Ahaz was told to ask for a sign. He refused to do it. The Lord said, I got a better idea. I will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive. And we read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, that this virgin is Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says, behold, the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son. We know that son to be Jesus from that same passage. And she will name him Emmanuel. In this time period, names had a lot of meaning. They indicated what was going to be happening. And the name Emmanuel means God with us. And had Ahaz done what the Lord asked him to do, a sign like this would have been helpful for him. It would have given him peace because he would have had an assurance that God was with him. And that is the presence that helps us to be able to push out the stress in our lives instead of pushing out peace. Having an understanding that God is with us. And that presence is only something for those who have a relationship with the Lord through Christ. That doesn't mean that we can never have peace. Doesn't mean that no one can ever have peace. But in order to have that peace that is talked about here, that presence of God in your life, that has to be something that is brought into play by having a relationship with the Lord through faith in Christ. Around this time of year, everybody often talks about snow and the romantic concept of snow and how beautiful it is and all. And if you've ever had an opportunity to be in outdoors when the snow is coming down very heavy, it's a beautiful, peaceful time. It really is. There's a dynamic with the snow and the snow that's coming down in the air and the snow that's on the ground, and it has an acoustic effect. It deadens the noise. And so when you walk outside and it's snowing, it's really quiet. And it's beautiful. You see the snow coming down and it's such a beautiful, it's a peaceful time. And a lot of people look forward to this time of the year to be able to have those moments because they're so peaceful. They're so wonderful times. But they're temporary. Because a few days later, either it gets really cold and all that snow ices up, or it gets really warm and all that snow melts. And it's gone. We can have those temporary moments of peace. But what is being talked about here is a peace that lasts indefinitely. It's not temporary. It's not based upon the temperature outside. It's not based upon the weather. It's not based upon whether the sun is shining. It's not based upon whether work is going well or family is going. It's not based upon any of those things. It's simply based upon the fact that the God of the universe is living in you. And that's the peace that we can experience. That is the thing that helps us to push stress out of our life and to live into that moment of being peaceful when we have the presence of God in our lives. Let me ask you just real quickly. I want you to consider in your own mind, imagine in your mind that there are three check boxes, and I'm going to give you three descriptions. And I want you to check off which box is most likely a description of who, of where you're at. So there's three descriptions, and I want you to check which one is more like you, which one would be you. And the first one is, I have no peace in my life right now at all. Like, because of what's going on, I have absolutely no peace in my life. If that would be true of you, then in your mind, check off that box. The second thing would be, the second box would be to say, check off the box if this is true of you, is that I have peace in my life because of my circumstances. My job is going well, my life is going well, my checkbook is going well, whatever it is, the circumstances of my life right now give me peace. And if that's true of you, then check off that box. And the third box is different. The third box is the last one. And this box says, I have peace in my life because of the presence of the Lord in my life. I have peace in my life because God is living in me. And the reason I'm challenging you to make that distinction in your own mind is I want you to think through, because we can often come to the place when our circumstances are going good. We can say, oh, I have peace in my life, but it's not that lasting peace. It's the peace that we have because our circumstances are good. It's because the snow is falling. And verse 14 is talking about the peace that comes from the presence of God in your life. The question is, do you have that peace in your life? So there's three things that we're going to see. The first thing that we've seen, how do we find peace? How do we get that peace in our lives? The first thing is we get that peace when we petition God, we ask God for his help. Second is when we have the presence of God, when we really truly have the presence of God living in us. And the third thing is when we have patience. Have patience. Look with me at verse 15 and 16. It says, he, referring to the Emmanuel, the one that was talked about in the previous verse, he will eat curds and honey. And so this is an allusion back to the promise of the kingdom that the Israelites were promised. And so this is saying that he will be a part of that promised kingdom. He will eat curds and honey. At the time, he knows enough to refuse evil and to choose good. And this is a description of who this Emmanuel figure is going to be. He is going to be someone who chooses good and refuses to do evil. He will be righteous. This Emmanuel figure will be completely righteous, as we know that Jesus was. He will eat curds and honey. At that time, he knows enough to refuse good and evil. And then verse 16. For before the boy knows enough to refuse evil and choose good, we know because of the time period, before the boy is born, the land whose two kings you dread will be abandoned. And so this was a prophecy that could have helped Ahaz if he would have believed it. It would have been a helpful to him to hear that these two nations that are outside his doorstep are about to be conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And they did. That happened in 722 and 732 and 722 BC. And those were done. But the reality is that the solution, the help for the stress that he was feeling was something that was a part of God's plan. It was something that was going to be in line with God's plan. It was something that he would have needed to be patient for. And that's the call here. And that is the ask. And that is the thing that the Lord is instructing Ahaz to do, which he doesn't do, is be patient. I have a plan. I'm working this out. So how do we have peace in our lives? We can have peace by petition, asking God for help. How do we have peace in our lives when we can not only petition, but then we can also think about the presence of God in our life, and then we can have peace when we're patient with the Lord's plan. Yesterday, some of you may have heard about the thing after the men's breakfast. A couple of us stuck around and cut down a tree in our playground, and a lot of things happened there. But ultimately, what happened is the tree getting cut down was very stressful. It was very stressful. The whole process was, it was a big tree and it came down, and it was a very stressful thing. Troy, who's a guy who goes to the earlier service, he was up in the tree with the chainsaw, and the whole time I just kept thinking, Lord, please don't let Troy fall out of that tree. You know, I was just thinking, whoa, man. So the whole time it was just a real stressful time. There's a lot of stress going on, and I ended up doing a lot of praying. You know, a lot of praying, and a little later that afternoon, after everything was fine, the tree came down, and everyone was safe, there was no problems, and went home, and one of the other guys that was there sent a video of some of the work that we had done when we were watching it. I kind of watched it, and I was just kind of reviewing the time, and I was able to look back and see that even though the moment was stressful, it all turned out pretty well. And the Lord used that time in my life to get me to pray. The Lord used that time in my life to really lean on Him in the midst of what was going on. The Lord worked in that stressful time to bring me to a place of dependence upon Him. And the reality is that the same is true for you. Oftentimes you are put into situations that are stressful. Stress is allowed to come into your life. The Lord allows it, or you create it, or it gets created by other people. We have these stressful times. But the Lord can use those to draw us into a more intimate relationship with Him. The Lord can use those stressful times, that desire for His presence, He can use that to draw us into an intimate relationship with Him. And regardless of whether it's the Christmas season that's causing you stress right now, or whether it's the other circumstances that are going on in your life right now, the Lord is using those things because He's trying to draw you into a more intimate relationship with Him. He wants you to reach out to Him and ask for help. He wants you to enjoy His presence, and He wants you to be patient with His plan. And regardless of where you are in your walk with the Lord right now, I just want to challenge you, stop running. If you're running away from Him, stop running and go back to Him and embrace a relationship with Him that you know you need this morning. At this point in the service now, we're going to move into a time of communion. If you didn't get one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand and we have some folks in the back that will be able to get those for you. And this is the time period where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is a time period where we look towards the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for all of humanity, and all humanity has to do is believe that that sacrifice was capable of removing their sins from them. And for the men and women who have entered into that relationship with the Lord, we look back on this moment of time that Jesus was willing to allow Himself to be killed and to be crucified with a sense of hope, with a sense of peace, with a sense of longing, with a sense of gratitude for what Jesus was willing to do for us. And so we celebrate the Lord's table because of what He did. We can now have an intimate relationship with God that we could have never had before. So this is a time to remember what He was willing to do for us. So if you are here this morning and you do have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, you are welcome to participate. We'd love to have you, whether you have a member of this church or you're visiting or whatever, we'd love to have you participate. If you do not yet have an intimate relationship with the Lord, we ask you just to let this time pass and think about what's going on, maybe some of the things that you've heard this morning. For those of you who are here and have an intimate relationship with the Lord, I want to invite you to take off the plastic piece on the top and reveal the bread. And the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took some bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, "This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And then He concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again." going to wrap up our service, but before we do, we have a couple of missionaries here that are visiting, and we want to hear just a report from them. So Roger, you want to come up and tell us a little bit about what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Okay, thank you, Forrest. And Forrest told me I was just to take 3 to 5 minutes. And I know that here in Dallas, you have to be very time conscious, especially when football games come on at 12 o'clock. But I happen to know the Cowboys don't play till tomorrow night. So that's really not a factor here, I don't believe. Okay, Suzanne and I have been working in Indonesia as missionaries since 1975, and we're not quite done yet. This is our 50th year, but there are still things we can do. We are not retired. We've moved back onto the farm where I grew up in Northwest Ohio at the Benadorio Farm since 1861, when my great-great grandfather bought some land there, and we are not working full-time in Indonesia, and we spent a couple of years considering and praying whether we should make Dallas our base or move back on the farm and make that our base. But we felt then that the Lord should have us go there. We're developing ministries with people in the community there, and we still make trips back to Indonesia. We've been making a couple trips a year in the last few years, even through the time of COVID. But anyhow, we have given to the missions committee and to the pastor a 3-page summary of our work, what we're doing, and what we plan to do, hope to do in these next few years. So if you're seriously interested in missions and want to pray for us and know what's going on so you can pray more specifically, check with them, and I'm sure you can get a copy of that. But we want to share that we still feel that the Lord has some things for us to do. When we were over there in Indonesia earlier this year, we had a pilot come in to land at our station there. We're in a tribal group where there are still no roads and no electricity, and we land on a grass airstrip, single engine Cessna planes and similar planes like that. And this one pilot from a different mission than we usually have planes come in there, had a flight scheduled in there, and he knew us, and he said, "Oh, it's so great to see you back here in Papua." He said, "You are really needed here." And then a few days later, we went back out to the coast, and I checked my Facebook messages, and somebody said, "Well, we hear that in 2 or 3 weeks you'll be coming back to the States. That will really be great because you are really needed here." So we're needed here, we're needed there. We still work in both places, so I guess we're doing what we should do. So pray for wisdom for us in knowing what we can do as we're getting older. I mean, in some of the flights more recently, we've left things and lost things and left a cell phone and a passport. We had trouble finding one time. Some people said, "Maybe you take a hint, you know, it's getting more difficult for you." But anyhow, there's some really important things we can still do with the experience we've had and education and so forth. So pray for wisdom for us as we continue in some of these things. Now, for this next year, we're planning to go back to Indonesia about the middle of January and spend 6 weeks there in West New Guinea, Papua, Indonesia, helping them particularly in Bible translation as they're trying to finish up the Old Testament there. So they have the entire Bible in the Nalcha language. We finished the New Testament, had that printed in 2000 and what was it, Suzanne? 2001, that's right. But the Old Testament is very long, you know. How many times have you read through the whole Old Testament? And it's taken a while to get that Old Testament finished, but we want to help and encourage them. Also, they're beginning to make plans for May 2026 for a big, they call it jubileum, or that's the Indonesian word for jubilee, celebrating 50 years of having the gospel in their area. And that will be a huge event, probably for a whole week going on there, with events taking place back in the tribal area and also out in the coast where a lot of the people live. And we want Pastor Forrest and maybe some other people from here to come over and see what's actually going on over there, and so they can report back. That would be a good time to do that. So we'll be helping, encouraging them, and giving them ideas and so forth with that as well. We'd also like to get libraries started in every village there. Every church has a library where they have books in their own language, what has been translated, the Bible, and as people from that group with education can translate different things into their language, we can have them in a library. We can have books in Indonesian, because they need to learn more and more Indonesian, the national language, because there are a lot more books, resource books, Christian materials in Indonesia for them. So that's something we'd like to do. Also, and there's one major project right now, we'd like to raise about $5,000 for solar lights for families back there in the jungle. As I mentioned, they have no electricity. They're starting more and more to use some solar power for some of these things. And the government, about 5 years ago, gave out a lot of solar lamps to people, but they've almost all... I was going to say rusak, that's the Indonesian word for wrecked or not any good anymore, ruined. Anyhow, they're not working. And we have connections with a ministry in Singapore who particularly produces solar-powered lamps for people in areas like this. They have a unit that they can put on the top of their roof with the solar panel up during the day, and it'll receive power, and then they can bring it in at night and hang it up in their house, and they can use it. These people, a lot of these people, they just live on what they get in their gardens. We used to tell people the average income is probably $50 a year. It's probably more than that now, but they don't have a lot of money. They're very remote. They have gardens they work in. They go out in the morning and they work in their gardens and do things outside. They come in, they usually eat two meals a day, in the morning, mid-morning, and in the afternoon. And then in the tropics, about 6 o'clock, it starts to get dark. So when they want to read their Bibles and the kids want to do their homework, schoolwork, and stuff like that, it's really difficult without any lights. And these lights only cost like about $10 a piece, these solar lights. So we're planning on getting a bunch of those and distributing them in that area. We may use some of them to motivate them, say, now if you can learn a certain number of scripture verses, you can earn your light, and things like that. But we need to buy them, first of all. We need to raise about $5,000 before Christmas. We'd like to do this. So you could pray for that, and if you're interested, you can contact us about that. So anyhow, be involved in helping to get the gospel to these people. In West Papua, West New Guinea, there are still tribes that hardly have knowledge of the gospel. There are people that don't know how to read or write at all, need to have literacy so they can read and write. There are many, many groups that have no Bible in their language that they can understand. So a lot of this work needs to be done. I asked in a Sunday school class, how many Christians do we have in the world? How many churches? How many denominations? How many theological schools? How is it possible there are still people anywhere in the world that don't have the gospel? How is that possible? I mean, we've been given a great commission. Jesus gave that 2,000 years ago, right? We've got lots of money. We've got lots of people. But we're not taking this seriously. There's a lot of evangelism that goes on in cities, and people are evangelized or they're given the gospel time after time, many places in the world, but nobody's reaching some of these very small, least reached tribal groups. So pray for that and look for information on that, and be a part in helping to get the gospel to those people too. So pray for us as we work there in Indonesia, and particularly in West New Guinea or Papua Indonesia. Thank you.
All right, church. Well, as we conclude our service, we just have a few short announcements. And this week, I am very happy to say they are all Christmas-themed. So if you don't already have a bulletin, I strongly encourage you to grab one after the service. But there at the top of the announcements, Highlands Christian School, if you're not familiar, they're the school that operates out of here during the week. They will be having a children's program named Ark the Angel, I'm pretty sure. This Friday, there will be two show times, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. No tickets are necessary, no purchase for that, so please be sure to come if you're available and would like to come to that. This Saturday, we'll be having our Christmas party here at the church. It'll be from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Please see the bulletin for a little bit more information on that. And in addition, the Christmas Eve service will be on Christmas Eve, and it'll be from 4 to 5 p.m. Also on the bulletins on the back, you can find a few different ways to give, whether in person or online. We encourage you to give generously as you are able. And to conclude our service with a prayer, I wanted to read a few verses from Psalm 71, the first 8 verses. And it's in the singular, so it's a lot of I's and me's. To change it as a prayer for our church, I'll be using we's and us's. Would you please pray with me? In you, Lord, we have taken refuge. Let us never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue us and deliver us. Turn your ear to us and save us. Be our rock of refuge, to which we can always go. Give the command to save us, for you are our rock and our fortress. Deliver us, my God, our God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been our hope, sovereign Lord, our confidence since our youth. From birth we have relied on you. You have brought us forth from our mother's wombs. We will ever praise you. We have become a sign to many. You are our strong refuge. Our mouths are filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Amen. Thank you, church. Have a good week.